So we welcome you to Home Church. Just want to let you know, my name is Pastor Andy. I'm one of the pastors here. Pastor Vincent spoke last week. And there's every week we take sermon notes. If you want hard copy sermon notes, those are there for you so that you can learn from today and also apply it today. We also have a church app. It's on Tithely app. You can find Home Church. And you can find a digital interactive copy of the sermon notes on our app. And you can stay connected with everything that is happening at our church as well. Have you ever been in a place where you felt that you were out of place? Have you ever been somewhere where you're like, oh man, this feels weird, or I feel like I'm out of place, I don't feel like I belong, or am I in the right place? Well, a few years ago, Joe was invited to a birthday party. It was our neighbor's birthday party, and it was at this jungle gym. You might have heard some of this story before. I did this a couple years ago, but this jungle gym. And at this jungle gym, Joe was supposed to participate with a bunch of people. And like any boy birthday party, you get an invitation, and that invitation is sent out to a bunch of friends. And Joe was invited. And so I decided to drop Joe at this jungle gym, and I had a bunch of errands to do that day. And then at the end of the party, I go pick him up. But I'm not waiting in the parking lot in the jungle gym. I go inside. And as I go inside, I get all these weird stares at me. Like not just like a hi. It's just like, who is this guy? And I just kind of kindly wave and move on. But I'm getting a lot of these weird looks. So I'm thinking, oh, maybe something's in my nose. Maybe there's something in my face. Maybe they think, wow, look at that buff guy. I wish I was as buff as that guy or as jacked. And I thought to myself, that was basically it. And so I found Joe in the back and get Joe, and we go to the car. And again, on the way back to the car, I am getting all these weird looks. Have you ever had those before? Ever had this moment before where you walk into a place and you're getting these weird looks? Or maybe it's a family gathering, I don't know, and you're like, who is this person? Why is this person here? And as we get into the car, Joe had one of those party packs. And in the party pack, it's all BC Lion stuff. A BC Lion ball, BC Lion eraser, there was a pen there. Even the party bag was a BC Lions bag. And I'm like, wow, these people must love the BC Lions. And then it dawned on me. I knew why they were giving me all the weird looks, because I was wearing this hat. It's a Saskatchewan Rough Riders hat. If you know anything about sports, this isn't the BC Lions. This is the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. So I came in with a hat, picking up Joe with this. But not only that, not only was the family really good fans and loved the BC Lions, the grandpa of this birthday party was the BC Lions coach. And the coach had a bunch of players from the BC Lions at this birthday party because that's what they did. So they were giving me all these weird looks because I thought, oh, you know, it's a birthday party. And I was wearing the Saskatchewan Rough Riders hat with a bunch of BC Lion players and the BC Lions coach and manager at the time. And maybe they're like, who is this guy? Why would he do that? And it was a simple cultural misunderstanding. In the city, it's easy sometimes to have cultural misunderstandings. Sometimes it could be funny like that. Other times, highly offensive. It really depends on what type of culture we come from. But each of us have different sets of cultures. So if you are taking notes, what is culture then? We have to explain what culture is. Culture is a set of beliefs, values, systems, and customs, even behaviors that people express individually or as a group within society. So even subconsciously, we make decisions based on our culture. I'm a Ukrainian. We have a set of values. You might be Chinese, and you have a set of values. My wife comes from a French background. They have a different set of values or sub-values, subcultures. But I want to share with you today that one of the most famous speeches of all time, Jesus spoke about it in Matthew chapter 5-7. If you have a Bible with you, feel free to go there. We're going to spend the next few weeks actually in a sermon series called Seek First. And it's a Sermon of the Mount. And when you read the Sermon on the Mount, it's also all relational. It's how to have a relationship with God, how to have a relationship on earth with our family, our friends, our spouses, with ourselves, with our world. And it's also a relationship with those that are closest with us. And I want to share with you today that Jesus, one of the greatness things of Jesus, is he brings all cultures together. All cultures together. Jesus is the only one that can bring people together from different backgrounds, from different styles, different beliefs, and we see that on the Sermon on the Mount. This is a picture of Jesus speaking one of his most famous messages in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. So in his speech, we need to be aware when you read Matthew 5, 6, and 7, 6, 7, 6, 7. See, there's even subcultures happening right now. And you're like, what the heck, Andy, what's 6, 7? And why is people going like this? I have no idea, but 6, 7. In Jesus' speech, though, we see that all types of cultures were represented at his speech. All different cultures, Romans, Jews, Gentiles, Samaritans, young and old, rich and poor, pagans, preachers, the religious were all hearers of Jesus' message that day. And they were there to hear about Jesus. Now, I need to pause here for a second because you might not necessarily understand this. If we put it in today's culture, this is what I would say. There was Canuck fans there and Oiler fans. There was Saskatchewan Rough Rider fans and BC Lions fans. There is first immigrant Chinese there, third generation Chinese there. There is Ukrainian and French and whatever other culture that was there in that moment. All cultures were represented when Jesus showed up. But not only all cultures, there was different types of groups. Now, in Jesus' day, sometimes some of these groups did not intermingle. You wouldn't share a dinner or a meal with these people. Romans, for example, didn't converse with Pharisees. Jews were born in Judea would not actually have a meal with those from Samaria. Samaria were people that were considered close to God, but not as close to those that lived in Jerusalem. It's like saying that those in Vancouver are closer to God than those from Surrey. That's basically what you would be saying. And this is what happened religiously, even in their own context. So all groups were represented because of who God was, what Jesus was doing, even though there were subcultures that wouldn't talk to each other. We've seen this even in our culture as well. You don't have to open up social media too long to see how polarized we are as Western civilization. Even in the span of 5 years, you might have heard these words like white privilege, Asian hate, Black Lives Matters, and Me Too movement. All of these are considered justice movements, and I need to pause here today that you can't have justice without Jesus. You can have judgment without Jesus, yes. You can be right without Jesus, but it leads to judgment, where rightness with Jesus leads to justice. There's a difference. And you see this in the Sermon on the Mount. But for us as followers of Jesus, maybe you're not here and you're still searching, it's important to realize not to get sucked into the judgments and the polarization and the hate and the isolated culture that we're trying to create, unfortunately, maybe unintentionally. But as followers of Jesus, we are called to come together. And we see these things even in Jesus' days. These cultures, these subgroups would clash and polarize. Racism would rise. Skepticism would be perceived. Rather than actually love each other, as we see with the Sermon on the Mount, they judged each other. This can happen with us as well because we misunderstand each other. We come across it as this person, therefore, is different than me, therefore, I can't trust that person. And we label or we polarize. I'm not saying this happens in the church life, even though it does seep in. I'm saying this is happening in our world.
And Jesus yet brings all these subgroups together. It's quite amazing. And then all types of individuals were represented. At this point, Jesus healed a lot of people. He healed people from diseases. He healed people from demon possession. He healed people from religion. And he brought all these people together. He developed relationships with these people. He even invited all these types of people to have not only relationship, but to be transformed. And God brought all these groups together. This is the beauty now for the local church. The local church is the same way as we should be in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. All cultures coming together to encounter the greatness of God. So, we need to, as followers of Jesus, understand some of the gaps of culture in our world. The first thing that we see, even in the Sermon on the Mount, is there's generational gaps. For the first time in history, you can actually have five different generations at church. Even when I say 6, 7, people are still going like this. I have no idea what it means. I'm so sorry, friends. But every generation has their own sub-values as well. And it's important to understand that there is different generational values, and that's okay. And because of this, if we don't understand, we misunderstand each other, and we tend to isolate or protect ourselves rather than actually invite others to experience God from the Sermon on the Mount. The second thing is monocultural gaps. We tend to isolate ourselves to our own ethnic cultures or systems or beliefs. This is happening in Jesus' day in the Sermon on the Mount. As you might know, the World Cup of soccer is coming to Vancouver. Any soccer fans out there? One soccer fan. Awesome. You know why there's not a lot of soccer fans here? It sounds terrible, but unfortunately, China did not make the World Cup. Maybe next time, okay? But in any context, testing 1, 2. We're having monocultural issues with my mic. And so, 2 billion people. Do you want me to change my mic there, Al?
No.
Okay. Testing 1, 2. Thank you, son. Thank you, man. I think I call you son. Just thank you, man. So over 2 billion people watch soccer.
And the World Cup is one of the most famous tournaments, if not the most famous tournament of all time. It's bigger even than the Olympic Cup for Canadians is soccer. Now, most of us, if you are a soccer fan, who are you going to cheer for? You cheer for your ethnic group, right? If I'm Ukrainian, I'm cheering for the Ukrainians. If I'm from France, I'm going to connect and cheer on the French. In 2030, when China makes it, you're going to cheer for Canada. Yes, I was waiting for it. I was waiting for it. So for those that are listening online, they said Canada, not China. But we tend to gravitate to cheer whatever country we want to. Why? Because we have a subset of values. There is a cultural value that you would have. Why? Because your identity and your sense of belonging is based on that culture. And yet Jesus invites us to a new culture. And then we need to be aware of family gaps. Each of us here, especially if you're married, you know that two people become one. You have a set of values that are coming from two different set of families, and you're learning how to develop one new set of culture. So for all my single friends in the room, if you want a great relationship, it's two becoming one. Two sets of values becoming a new set of values. It goes a long way in relationships. God created relationships that way. But in family, we need to be aware of our values, the good, the bad, and the ugly, the gaps and the brokenness as well as the good things, so that when you have relationships with others, you learn those things rather than try to bring your set of values to overtake other people's values. We need to be a reality of this. So let me give you a funny story. My first anniversary story. Anik and I
come from a two different set of values. I'm very practical. I'm a pastor. Anik loves hospitality. She loves to cook. Any way to a guy's heart is through his stomach, okay? So just give you a heads up. It's facts, yeah. So I decide on our first year anniversary to get Anik the best gift she will ever get. I saved up a bunch of money. I was a youth pastor in Richmond Pentecostal Church. It took me a lot of time to save this money. I passed it by my mom. I passed it by my dad. That was probably a bad thing to do. I probably should have went by Anik's mom and dad. And I decided to buy Anik this gourmet set of knives. I thought, oh, this is going to be amazing. I was so excited to give her this gift because I'm practical and I love food. Anik is hospitable, but she just wants to be pampered. So the day comes. I'm so excited to give this gift. I've been thinking about this for months, and I've been saving for months. I'm like, these knives are better than I ever raised from. Like, these are going to be amazing. All the things that Anik loves to do, she's going to love. And I thought, man, she's going to love this gift. You know how we ruminate too? And we think about the future, and you're like, oh, this is going to happen. She's going to say, oh, Andy, you're so generous. You're so kind. Let me kiss you and love you, and you're great. The opposite happened. She opened up the gift, and she's like, what's this, Andy? I'm like, I've been saving for months. And I thought that she was going to take a knife and stab me with it. She's like, Andy, this is too practical. I'm like, what are you talking about, babe? She's like, I want to be pampered. I'm like, I am pampering you. I just got you a set of knives. She's like, no, Andy, get it right. I want a massage. I want my nails done. I want like a facial. I'm like, okay, I got it. I learned that day never to buy Anik a set of practical knives or anything else. Practical. That's right. On these dates. Now, that's just a funny story of two different cultures, subcultures trying to understand what it means to be one. Now imagine if there was no love there. Imagine what would have happened. There would be polarization. There would be judgment. It would be words like this: Andy does not understand me, therefore he does not love me. It could go on my side and say, oh, Anik doesn't appreciate what I did. I worked so hard for that. And we ruminate on our own subcultures. Is that true for you and I today? Is it possible that we make decisions based on our subset of cultures rather than being the culture of Christ? Jesus put it this way: seek first the kingdom or his culture and his righteousness, and all these things on this earth will be given to you. This doesn't mean that God's going to give you a Porsche. Maybe he will. I really don't know. But that's not what you seek first. You seek the kingdom. You seek his culture. You seek right relationship with God. And therefore, all these things will be added unto you. What you want in this world. Not just what you need. So let's unpack this together. This might sound a little simple, but it's actually more difficult in practice. Is that Jesus actually is resetting a new set of cultures, value systems, beliefs of how to run and walk and make decisions in your life. And this is a lifelong journey. It's not just about a subset of cultures. Oh, I made a mistake about getting a knife set for Anik. That's not what we're talking about here. It's talking about a whole new set of living, new life, culture. And so we see here to seek Jesus is to ask us to seek him. He invites us to reach out and to seek God. It takes action and faith and courage to seek God over seeking our own cultures, our own set of values or systems. If you don't know how to seek God, it's very simple. Open up your Bible. Today is February 1st. Start in Proverbs. Proverbs 1. There's 31 Proverbs. Just use
the calendar to go through it. Read the Gospel of John. If you find that reading the Bible is too hard, then listen to it. If you think that's too hard, then watch it on YouTube. Like, I don't know. Or get involved in a home group. There's actually 5 new home groups that launched this month and last month, which is amazing. There's a new one that's just starting here in Riley Park, Mount Pleasant. And Mary and Sarah are leading it. They're right over there. They're amazing. They might get too many people now. But you can join them for a meal or for a hangout after second service. It starts February 15th. Connect with them. And they'll go through the sermon notes and the questions. It's an opportunity to connect and to grow and to seek and to search God together. But sometimes we seek our own cultures. This is a gift that I did need a few years later, and it gave me a gift. It's an important gift. It's a gift to help me find my keys when I lose them. No one loses their keys like Pastor Andy. Let's just put it that way. And even on my keys, there's a little code that looks like this. It's called a tile. And so Anna bought me a very practical gift to make me better in every way when I would lose my keys. And one day, doesn't happen often, I lost my keys. I'm like, where's my keys? I can't find them. I asked my kids, hey, do you know where my keys? I looked in my car. It wasn't in the car. I looked in my pockets. It wasn't in my pockets. Then, like any typical guy, you go upstairs and you try to retrace your thoughts, right? Well, thoughts and then steps, yes. I started with my thoughts and then I moved to steps. Thanks for correcting me, whoever did. And so the thoughts are like, okay, where was I? So then you go through your steps. So I go to my night table. It's not there. Go in the washroom. It's not there. I go to the sink. Not there. I'm like, oh, maybe it's by where I make coffee. So I go downstairs into the kitchen, look at the coffee maker. It's not there. And then I remember, oh, and it bought me this tile thing. I'm going to pull up my phone and try to find my keys. So I pull it up and I find my keys on the app that it's somewhere in my house. And then I'm like, okay, it's somewhere in my house. At least I didn't lose it at church. At least I didn't lose it in my car. Or somehow, some way, it's dropped off at the gym. It's somewhere in my house. So I'm like, okay, getting close. So I'm looking. And then I realize as I'm thinking and going on my step journey tour, I'm like, oh, Annick had my car a couple weeks ago. I'm like, maybe she has the keys. So I ask Annick, hey, Annick, have you seen my keys? And she's like, no, I haven't seen your keys. And then what I decided to do, I don't know, maybe this will help someone in this place that will forever forget your keys, is I open up where our closet is with all our jackets. And so I start tapping on pockets, looking for it. And there's Annick's jacket, and I tapped on it. And I'm like, oh, there's my keys. It was in Annick's pocket. I'm like, Annick, I was looking for my keys. And she's like, well, at least I got you a gift to find them. In the same way, Jesus asks us to seek him like we've lost something. There's an urgency. There is intentionality. There is action. There is energy that goes into searching God. It doesn't happen accidentally to hear God's voice. It happens when we practice Sabbath. The last 3 weeks, we talked about Sabbath rest, that if you want to start your year well and you want to be successful in life, you hear God's voice. And the way you do that is you quiet yourself with the Lord. In the same way, when you do so, you can search him and know him as you search him. And he will give you a new set of standards, culture, a better set of standards and culture. Second, we see that Jesus invites us into relationship or into righteousness. This term here means right relationship. Okay, so righteousness is a fancy word that just simply means right relationship. Right relationship with God, right relationship with ourselves, and right relationship with others. This is something you pursue when you pursue God. In other words, I can't have right relationship with my wonderful wife until I actually have right relationship with God. There is this reality set of cultures that when you seek God first, everything else flows.
prosperity flows, success flows, right relationship flows. But sometimes we do the opposite. We're like, oh, I just need to get my job right, or I need to get my relationship with my wife or spouse right. I need to get right with my kids. No, it's actually opposite. Get right with the Lord first. Have a right relationship with Him. Let the greatness of God overshadow you and overwhelm you in a good sense of joy, peace, and kindness, as Caitlin has mentioned, and that you will experience right relationship with God. And when you pursue Jesus, which is amazing actually, is He actually brings wrong relationships together. And He wants to bring them into healing and wholeness and rightness. Maybe that's you today. You're focusing on all the other things rather than focusing on the one thing, which is God, and to have right relationship with Him. The third thing that we see here is that God calls us to be part of a kingdom culture. He calls us. He invites us. He calls us to build a culture based on His kingdom in the midst of our own cultures, whether you're Chinese, Ukrainian, Canadian, to build a culture of Him. So how do we do this? Well, it's actually through the words of the Sermon on the Mount. This series, Seek First, is really about how to unpack Matthew 5, 6, 7, for all my 6-7s out there. I encourage you in the next 5 weeks to join us, to explore with us what it means to seek first within our own cultural realities and preferences. In fact, Jesus is inviting us to a better culture, a higher culture, a kingdom purpose that sets us free and allows us to hear from God and how to be a heavenly culture in a series of earthly cultures. And it's because of Jesus bringing us together. Think of Jesus Himself. He came from a different set of culture as well. He didn't have to come to earth, but He decided to because of love. Jesus put it this way to a religious leader named Nicodemus. It's quite famous passage of scripture. For God so loved the world that He gave. That He gave. That Jesus left His culture from heaven to a sinful, broken world culture to change it. To transform it. So He gave His one and only Son that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting or eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to condemn it, to judge it, to polarize it, to separate, to individualistic, personalized, hypersenses of truth. No, He brought us together to save the world through Him. So Jesus came to give us a set of new standards because of His example. I started with the story of Joseph, Joe. I'll end with the story of Joe. When Joe was born, his name wasn't supposed to be Joseph. It was supposed to be Josiah. And we had a different name set for him. Had already. And when Joe was born, it was just Annick and I in the room. When Isabel was born, we had grandpa and grandma. Family was there. However, it worked for Joe. It just, family couldn't make it in time. So it was just Annick and I in the room. And as Joe is born, God whispers to us at the same time. We don't know this. We didn't talk about this. But as Joe is born, I'm like, Annick, I think we shouldn't call Josiah. I think we should call him Joseph. And she said, I think so too. I'm like, really? Are you sure about that? Like, we've been telling our close family, like, should it be Joseph? And Annick said something to me, and I thought that this was quite wise. And she said, Andy, I think we should call him Joseph because God will restore a relationship between a father and a son. I'm like, interesting. So I grew up fourth generation Ukrainian. My dad's second or like middle name's Joseph. My grandpa's name is Joseph. And my grandpa came to know the Lord when he was in grade 9. He didn't pass any other education in grade 9 because he was a farmer. He wanted to make money that way, so he didn't think education was important. But because of that, there's a series of brokenness in my family. A series of like overworking, being performance-driven, that you're never good enough, that your wallet is never big enough. When you hit a certain number, you double it. If you're not working hard enough, you double it. And there was judgment on that. If you didn't have a number or you didn't work hard enough, that was the value sets, then you did not measure up. And what God was saying to Anik and I that day is that God wants to break that, these generational values of a new set of values with God. My grandpa worked and walked that way for many years until his last third of his life, where he started to shift and apologize for some of that behavior. I thought that was something I needed to share with you today because there's always hope. There is always hope. It doesn't matter how far you feel from God. It doesn't matter how broken you have been. It doesn't matter how hard life has been in the past. God can redeem all things at all times. That's why his culture is a better way of our own cultures. And because of life and because of us seeking first the kingdom of God, he shifts our values. He shifts our viewpoints to be a kingdom culture instead. It's human nature here, friend, to say, well, how do I do that? Well, I encourage you this week to read Matthew 5, 6, and 7. I encourage you to do so. If we can go to the next slide, these are reflection questions that you can ask yourself. You can ask yourself, what type of set of standards do you rely on the most? You see, there's nothing wrong with working hard. There's nothing wrong with a fat wallet. There's nothing wrong with being successful in this world until that's number one. And it's not because Jesus says, seek me first so that all things are second. He's saying that for your own health. Because what happens with human nature is when we put our values before his, then it becomes extreme. We set our values and our identity on our wallets. I'm talking about me here. We set our values on how hard you work. And then you measure everybody else by that. Where when you look at the kingdom, you don't measure that. You measure by a set of values that Jesus shows us in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And I encourage you this sermon series for the next 5 weeks to go through a process of how to seek first. So write those down, whether good or bad. And you might have some funny stories like Anik and I. Maybe you can learn from my story. Don't pamper your wife and your spouse with practical gifts, okay? That's just a funny thing, but we all do have values. A subset of values that we need to be aware of. Even as a spiritual exercise, ask Jesus to transform your culture into a new set of standards. Invite him in. Invite him into that brokenness or invite him into the subcultures. And you might be here today and you're like, I don't know what that means. I don't know how to understand my culture. Well, take some time this week to pray through it. Reach out to one of our pastors. We have a great pastoral staff. Reach out to the Holy Spirit and let him speak to you. Don't get overwhelmed or too busy with the polarization of social media. Take some time to encourage Sabbath and hear the whispers of the Lord when he speaks to you. Even for me as a person, I never thought I'd be a pastor. I wanted to be a lawyer or a businessman. Why? Because I wanted a fat wallet. And I wanted to work hard and have success. I was measuring it based on my family values. And God whispers to me to be a pastor. Now, human speaking, when I heard that, I'm like, well, pastors don't know what else to do in life, so they become pastors. Like, that's how I grew up. God had to shift my focus from my subset culture of values than kingdom values. And I'm not saying this that maybe you should be a pastor. That's not what I'm saying whatsoever. But what I am saying is that you are soft to the whispers of the Lord and the kingdom when he speaks to you. When you read Matthew 5, 6, and 7, that you read it in the lenses of a new culture that God invites us to. So let us pray. God, I pray for every single person in this room, including myself, in the set series of standards and values and belief systems and systems that we have made here on earth sometimes become extreme because we focus and seek those subcultures rather than Christ as our first culture. Lord, forgive us when we've made even our faith about us. But God, we thank you that you bring all cultures to yourself, all individuals, all types of groups, all types of cultures. And so today, as we participate in communion that brings us together, that you would give us the courage to invite you into our subset of cultures, to transform them, to transform relationships, to transform families and marriages. And even as Caitlin has said, transform our schools, transform our work, and therefore transform our world. Seek first, friend, the kingdom of God and all its righteousness. Seek first Jesus and let him give you right relationship. Seek first so that you can have right perspective and all these things that God has blessed us here on earth as we see through Sabbath rest. He will give to you time, talents, and treasures. And when you go with Jesus and you give him all, what comes back never goes void. It will go beyond your lifetime for generations because of salvation and love and grace. But it does take the hard work to say, God, I'm letting go of my own subculture, my set of series to seek you first. So today, for response, is communion. Communion is a time to reflect. It's a time to let God speak to us when he was with his closest friends. And if you're new here, you are welcome to participate if you are a follower of Jesus. If not, you can just... you don't have to participate, but there's going to be an element, the element of bread and juice. And the bread represents Jesus' body. The juice represents his blood. And that might sound a little weird to you, but his blood means a new covenant. Jesus, because of Matthew 5, 6, and 7 on the Sermon on the Mount, he gives us a new set of culture, kingdom culture. So that when we partake in communion today, it's not just to remember, but to reflect a new kingdom. So Lord, I pray that today, that as we partake and as we reflect, that we would seek first the kingdom and right relationship. We pray these things in Jesus' name. I'm going to ask my friend.